From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. This do in remembrance of me. It seems, then, that Christians may forget Christ. There could be no need for this loving exhortation if there were not a fearful supposition that our memories might prove treacherous. Nor is this a bare supposition. It is, alas, too well confirmed in our experience, not as a possibility, but as a lamentable fact. It appears almost impossible that those who have been redeemed by the blood of the dying Lamb, and loved with an everlasting love by the eternal Son of God, should forget that gracious Savior. But, if startling to the ear, it is, alas, too apparent to the eye to allow us to deny the crime. Forget Him who never forgot us? Forget Him who poured His blood forth for our sins? Forget Him who loved us even to the death? Can it be possible? Yes, it is not only possible, but conscience confesses that it is too sadly a fault with all of us, that we suffer Him to be as a wayfaring man tarrying but for a night. He whom we should make the abiding tenant of our memories is but a visitor therein. The cross, where one would think that memory would linger, and unmindfulness would be an unknown intruder, is desecrated by the feet of forgetfulness. Does not your conscience say that this is true? Do you not find yourselves forgetful of Jesus? Some creature steals away your heart, and you are unmindful of Him upon whom your affection ought to be set. Some earthly business engrosses your attention, when you should fix your eyes steadily upon the cross. It is the incessant turmoil of the world, the constant attraction of earthly things, which takes away the soul from Christ. While memory too well preserves a poisonous weed, it suffers the rose of Sharon to wither. Let us charge ourselves to bind a heavenly forget-me-not about our hearts for Jesus our Beloved. And whatever else we let slip, let us hold fast to Him.
Blood must be my own.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Christ the Friend of Sinners. The scriptures under consideration are chapters 13, 14, and 15 of Luke's Gospel. In Luke 15 and verse 2, we find the common thread of the passages depicted in the words of the Pharisees and scribes. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. At this point in his ministry, the Lord Jesus became increasingly scathing in his rebukes of the Jewish leaders. He issued various types of warnings to them, among which were cautions against the sin of presuming entrance into heaven without real faith in Christ, a warning about the seriousness of conviction of sin against prejudice and pride. Although the Pharisees ascribed Christ's miracles to the devil, he warned them that God alone judges the worth of a man's ministry. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Christ the Friend of Sinners.
One of the most serious things that can ever happen to a man, or to a woman, or to a boy, or to a girl, is to sit under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ and have God speak to your conscience and your heart. One of the most serious things can ever happen to a person is to be brought under conviction of sin, to be pointed to Christ, and to be moved in spirit to repent and believe the gospel. That is one of the most serious things that can happen. Because God does not speak forever. Herod found that out. This is the last message Christ ever sent to Herod. And it was not a message of repentance. It was not a message of opportunity. It was not a message of invitation. It was not a message of salvation at all. It was a message to a fox who had foxed himself slyly all the way to the gates of hell. Go and tell that fox, no matter what you want to do to me, I will cast out devils today and tomorrow. I will continue to do cures. In other words, go and tell Herod, I'm working to my timetable, not his. I'm working to my agenda, not his. I'm doing my work and God's will, no matter what he thinks, says, does, purposes. He can do nothing. What a beautiful illustration of the sovereign Christ. He can do absolutely nothing to upset either the agenda, the ministry, the timetable that I have had set for me from all eternity. Go and tell them, I'll come to Jerusalem, for no prophet can perish outside of Jerusalem. And he warned of punishment. That goes on through indeed to the end of the chapter as he goes on to speak to Jerusalem. Though we'll deal with that in a slightly different way later on. But even to Jerusalem, he's talking to them from a different point of view. I'm coming in to Jerusalem, not just as a judgment upon Herod, but as a judgment upon the Jews. Not just as a judgment upon that man that you would all agree is a dirty, great, vile, vicious sinner, and he deserves punishment, but even on the Jews, with all their religion, rejecting Christ. There's a warning of punishment. You know, it's an amazing thing when you read your Bible. The Bible has a doctrine of hell. It is a doctrine of everlasting punishment. Now that doctrine may be established throughout the Old Testament, and it may be established throughout the New Testament. But the amazing thing is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ preached more about hell than all the other preachers of the Bible put together. Now you stop and think of that. This is the one who is the Son of God, the love gift of the Father to the world. This is the one who is love incarnate. And yet, he spoke about judgment, about hell fire, about Gehenna, about everlasting punishment. He spoke of that more than not only anybody else, but more than all of them put together. Why? Remember again, these are the wounds of a friend. He's warning, be in time. In the opening verses of chapter 14, the first six verses, he is warning against prejudice. In those opening verses, you'll read the story of a certain man which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering verse 3 spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal in the Sabbath day? They held their peace. He took the man, he healed him, and he let him go. And then he looked at these Pharisees and says, now if you had a donkey and it needed your help on the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, you would help the donkey. If you had an ox and it was in the pit or in the ditch, you wouldn't think anything about going and pulling him out of the ditch. But here is a soul. Here's a man that he's had the chance to meet with the living Christ. And you would condemn him for being healed, and you would condemn me for healing him because it's the Sabbath day. Now on another occasion the Lord Jesus has said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Christ rules the Sabbath. The Sabbath doesn't rule Christ. He rules the Sabbath. He created it for his own good purposes. And one of the purposes was the good of men. It's a big subject that we'll not get into. But the one day in seventh, the seventh of time, set apart as a day of rest, now being widely disregarded by idiotic men and governments, given over to everything but rest or worship. But that seventh part of time, set apart by God, is one of the greatest natural gifts that God has ever given, A, to humanity, B, to the struggling individual, and C, to the stability of the family. One of his greatest gifts. So why would it then be anything to be surprised at that on the Sabbath day, the Lord Jesus would speak to the man with the dropsy and say, be well, and he's healed. The Pharisees spoke to each other on the Sabbath day. Of course, their words were impotent. Now they were finding fault just because the words of Christ were powerful. And he spoke, and the man was healed. You know, religious prejudice is one of the dirtiest things in the Church of Christ. And it didn't die with the Pharisees. And I just want to be very honest with you, and I want to warn you, that you make sure that you bring your views to the Bible, and you subject your views to the Scriptures, and you bend your views, or break your views, or change your views, or replace your views in order to let them gel with Scripture. But I'll tell you what the usual thing is. The people come to the Bible and they will hunt through the Scriptures. They will take some little verse, usually from some remote place, and they will take it utterly divorced from its context, which means they want to make it say something that the Holy Ghost never intended it to say and never intended it to mean, and they will take that and they will use it as a pretext for their own foul prejudice. Now let me tell you, the Lord Jesus warns against that. It's not only Pharisees that do it, there are Christians that do it too. And it always will stand in the way of Christ dealing with sinners. It will always stand as a hindrance to the people with the dropsy of soul, the paralysis of soul, getting right with God. And he's warning us against prejudice. In verses 7 through 14, he's warning against pride. I'll have to be quick here. But you'll notice the heart of the man who goes into a feast and he automatically makes for the top place, sits at the top table. Well, Jesus speaks, verse 11, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Notice the mindset here of people always exalting themselves. Now, let's not blind ourselves. This is not somebody else's sin. This is your sin. This is my sin. What was the ingredient that's most obvious in the first sin? And it was pride. What is the ingredient that is most obvious in all our sin? And it is pride. The pride that puts self in the place of the Lord. The root of all pride is self. I shouldn't give away trade secrets. But I have to be honest with you. One of the most sickening things, and I don't want to make preachers look bad in your sight. I'm simply trying to say to you that preachers are not immune from this. One of the most sickening things is to go into a great gathering of preachers and just hear them talk. And more often than not, it's who can outblow the other. There's this great puffing up. It's an ego trip. I've said from this pulpit many a time, and some of you have felt that I was overstating it. Some people have come to me and asked me, "Why did you say that?" as I have pursued this subject. It's too soon to be praising any man for what he's done for God. It's too soon to imagine that one man has had great success and the other has not had much success. When we stand before God and the books are opened and the all-knowing and the all-seeing judge speaks of things as they really are, I verily believe that on that day there are many that are first on earth that will be last then, and many that are last on earth and they'll be first then. This curse of self-exaltation. I really wouldn't know where to begin without doing a whole dissertation on it. as to how you apply that to everyday life. When we lose our head, lose our temper, it's because of some injury to self. When we're contradicted and we go flying off the handle, it's because of an injury felt to self. There's always this promotion of self. It comes absolutely natural to us. And that is a sin that very easily enwraps itself around about us and trips us up. Sometimes we're even proud of how humble we are. There's a fellow we talk about in Northern Ireland. And jokingly we say he has written a new book called The 10 Most Humble People in the World and How I Trained the Other 9. Proud to be humble. Sometimes we can be proud of our grace. We can be proud of our knowledge. Knowledge is a dangerous thing. It's an essential thing. But it's dangerous if it's divorced from spirituality. Because Paul says we all have knowledge. Well, we can all boast about knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Now that's not an argument for staying in ignorance. But it is an argument for saying, however much you know nothing yet as you ought to know it. What do I know in comparison to the infinite reality of the omniscience of God? What do I know in comparison to that? Nothing at all. This wickedness of pride and self-promotion, self-exaltation, self-assertion, self-vindication, self, self, self at every step and turn. We blame on the devil very often what we ought, if we were honest, to blame on ourselves. This exaltation of self flies in the face of every Christian grace, humility, meekness, and love. And worse still, it's blind to the glory of God. Because I tell you this, no man can be walking in the knowledge of God and be filled with himself. You cannot look in the face of the eternal and be filled with self. When Isaiah the prophet got the vision of the glory of God, he says, "Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." It's the vision of the holy that humbles self. And that's why the Bible says, God resisteth the proud.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.